Morning, everyone. We've reached chapter 22 of Matthew's Gospel. It's just to bring us up to date. We're in the last week of Jesus' life, probably around the Wednesday of the week. On the Sunday before, he's entered Jerusalem and they've acknowledged him as their Messiah, their King. But then he goes into the temple and he casts out all the people doing business. And the religious leaders come to him and challenge him, by what authority are you doing this? And he replies with three parables. And we've had two of them so far. The first one is the two sons who the father says, go and do this. And one says yes, but doesn't go. And the other says no, but goes. And then the second parable is the landowner with a vineyard, and he leaves tenants to look after it. He goes away, and then he comes back expecting produce, and the tenants kill the servants and kill the son. Those have been the two parables so far. And I just put it, again, the context, it's Jesus responding to the Jewish leaders about what is his authority throw out all the business in the temple and to speak the way you speak him. And now we come to the third parable. So it's important that we see the parable in that context. And before we start looking at the words, let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our minds and our emotions to receive from you, that we would know you and your Son Jesus better, and that we would be ready to serve you as our King. Amen. So, chapter 22, it starts off, Jesus told them other parables. I'm just going to pause there. The section that we're going to read, quite a number of commentators think that there's actually two parables in here, rather than one. And at the beginning it says Jesus told them other parables, not singular, it's plural. And kind of as we go through it, I'll kind of break where the break may be between one parable and another. He said, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by this story. So again, this is a parable about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He says, a king prepared a great wedding feast for his son. So that's the first thing. We have a king and we have a wedding feast for the son. And to get it into reality, think about Harry and Meghan, or think of the Queen holding a wedding banquet and inviting people. That might make it reality for us. He sent his servants to notify those who were invited. In the Middle East custom, this wedding banquet would probably go on all week. It'd last many days. And of course, there weren't emails and there weren't telephones. So an invitation would come from a servant coming to your house and saying, you're going to be invited. And it wouldn't be there and then you go. It would be, this is the kind of invitation to warn you you're going to be invited. And when everything is ready and the food and everything is all prepared, then the second call would come, now we're ready. That would be the kind of context of it. So let's go back to the Queen. You've been invited to Buckingham Palace. A servant has come and knocked on your door. And she says, it'll be in about a month's time, be ready, right? And then the day arrives and somebody comes and says, it's today, the car's outside, let's go. Not quite like that, but you know what I mean. They refused. The people who have been invited refused. He says, the bulls are fattened, everything's ready, come to the banquet, but the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way, one to his farm and another to his business, and others seized his messengers and insulted them and even killed them. So when the invitation comes, these people who are invited first either say, I'm too busy, or I'm actually anti the king, and I'm going to kill the servants and everything. So there's the side of like apathy to the invitation, but the side of aggression and persecution to the invitation. So how does the king respond? In verse 7, the king was furious and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their city. So there was a judgment on those who did not accept the invitation. The invitation went out, it was refused, and they were judged. And if Jesus is speaking to the Jews of that time, remember, in 30 years' time, the Roman army would destroy Jerusalem and everyone would be scattered. The nation would be destroyed. So that word in that parable comes true within that generation, within 30 years. But the king goes on, and he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honour. Now go out to the street corners and invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad alike, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. So he punishes those who were first invited and refused, and he invites other people to come. And what I like about the second lot is good and bad alike. If you think about the first might be towards the Jewish leaders who had the law. But the second group, it's nothing to do with keeping all the religious regulations. Invite them good and bad alike. So I'm going to pause there. There is a second bit to our reading which we'll do in a minute, because that might be where two parables come together. It might not. It may be one parable. So we've quickly looked at those verses, and I'm now going to quiz you to see if you're awake. So who were the characters in this story? There's actually five characters. Who's the first? The king. So who do we think the king is? God. It's the king of heaven, the kingdom of God. It's a parable of the kingdom of God. So this is about God's kingdom that he's talking. Second character? The son. So who is the son? Jesus, yeah. And so there will be this wedding banquet, this reception given by the king for his son. And we're told in other places in scripture that that will happen. It's not just here in this parable. So in Revelation, we have the final wedding feast of the bridegroom, Jesus, with the bride, who is the church. That is us. Third character. The servants. So the servants go out, and they are the ones that invite people in. We'll come back to them a bit later. Yeah. The first invited guests, right? So there's an invitation goes out and they refuse. They say, I'm too busy, or I'm against this idea. I'm anti-monarch. Right? And they refuse. So who do we think those first invitees are? What's the interpretation? Yeah, the interpretation is Jesus is speaking at that time to the Jewish leaders. So, and remember, he's defending himself about the authority that he has. So in this passage, he's saying, my authority, I'm the son of the king. That's the meaning behind this, right? And I've invited you into the kingdom, and you're rejecting it. That's what he's saying to them. And he's saying that to the religious leaders. And the second group... the final group, the fifth one. Yeah, the second invitees. So when the first invitees say no, they are judged. Then he says, my wedding banquet will be filled. Go out and find the others. So who are they? Yeah, they're kind of everybody else, but it's probably not just the Jewish nation. Now, it may be to some Jews as well who were not those religious leaders. But the only characteristic that we have of them is good and bad. Right? You're not invited because of your goodness. You're invited because you're invited. The king chooses to invite you. And therefore, whether you're good or bad, this invitation comes to you. And in that second bit, the banquet is filled. Everyone, or the banquet, doesn't say they all said yes, it just says the banquet is now full. Yep. So what does that, do you want me to go back now? Yeah. Having understood that story, let's just kind of think of what that means for us now. Let me go on to the second bit of the parable. Sorry, we haven't finished it. The second bit of the parable starts at verse 11. But when the king came into the banquet to meet the guests, he noticed a man who wasn't wearing the wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think we wish that wasn't there. So here is another character. He's in the wedding reception, but he's not wearing the right clothes. And he's picked out and thrown out. And it's kind of difficult to kind of fully know this. All that we can go by it is that I guess if we were invited to the Queen's wedding reception, we wouldn't go in mufti. You know, we would go special. And somehow here, this person is seen as being in his own clothes, not the wedding clothes given by the king. So the way I kind of look at this is that this person wanted to be there on his own righteousness rather than on God's righteousness. You remember the story of the prodigal son? The prodigal son, his father is rich, and he says to his father, I want my inheritance. And the father gives him the inheritance, off he goes. He wastes it and ends up with nothing. Right? I'm working in a farm and wretched and so on. And he says, the phrase is, he came to his senses and decided to go back to his father and see if his father would take him as a servant. And we read it in Luke 15, and it's verse 20. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger, sandals for his feet, kill the calf, we're going to have a feast. And that's that kind of analogy that he comes back and says, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And with that, I'm sorry, please forgive me for the bad that I've done. Then comes the robe of the king, the robe of righteousness, which is Jesus. And then comes the celebration. So coming back to our passage today, I think the second bit is about someone who wants to get into the wedding feast on their own righteousness, not on the righteousness of Jesus, not on the grace of God, not on the forgiveness of our sins, not our own worthiness, but the fact that Jesus is worthy. So three things. One is, there will be a banquet. The king will have a banquet for his son. Second, we're all invited. But we have a choice to make whether we're going to go or not. And if we do go, then we need to have the wedding clothes of the righteousness of Jesus. That is why we can attend. Not our own goodness in any way, but because of what Jesus does for us on the cross. Does anyone want to ask a question? Or does anyone want to make a comment about what we've read and said together? I know this is not normal.
Well, he says to himself, he throws out the man who's not got proper clothes on, and that means he's being excluded from God's kingdom.
Yeah.
But then that last phrase, for many are called, but few are chosen.
Yeah.
Is that linked to the fact that we all are called? Unless we're on the terms that God wants, then we would be
cast out too. Yep. Thanks. So I didn't do that very last verse that you pick up on, which is, many are called, but few are chosen. And of course, that can be a challenge to us. Does that mean we don't have a choice? Right? And the answer is no, we do have a choice. We're all invited, right? But it is our choice of whether we go or not. And in that sense, not all are chosen, because not all go. It's our choice to decide whether to go or not. Right. Does that make sense, or
yes.
Partly?
It just seems to be a little bit strange to be tagged on there. I mean,
yeah.
What I thought was a complete.
Yeah, yeah. And going back to it, some of the commentators say, whether this was added, you know, later on as a kind of explanatory thing. But I think we just have to take it at face value that it is all put as one. And therefore, we take it that Jesus said this at the end of that story.
And you often see that.
You do. Yeah. This idea of if the Queen invited you to Buckingham Palace, right, you definitely want to go, but actually it's not on your own terms, right? It's on her terms, right? And you will go, I mean, you want to go, but there are requirements to go in. You can't just turn up at the gate and say, I'd like to see the Queen today. Any other comments or?
It's all down to us and choice.
Yeah. Just on that bit, do you remember I said the invitation? The kind of invitation comes, you know, there's going to be this banquet and everything is then prepared and then it's now. Right? And right now you have to make the choice. Okay? And if you don't, that's it. And so there's that sense of urgency that everything is now ready. And for us as individuals, we don't know that kind of moment. Right? The invitation is there for us now, and now might be the time to make that choice. It's up to us to be ready, yeah. All the time, yeah.
I think it ties in with that parable of the virgins, ones that are ready and the ones that are not.
Yep. No. And that's a wedding feast as well, isn't it? It's the same thing, yeah. 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 Yeah.
Even though you're there forever, you don't go to the wedding today.
No.
You can go at any time.
but we don't know when the our time might be up. Yeah. Yeah.
When I see this scene, I see Jesus talking to the leaders. But, you know, there'd been a crowd around them, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what he's going to talk about now, what they're going to say now. And if you read it with those people in mind, it's incredibly encouraging.
Yeah.
Because they, perhaps discouraged by all the regulations, looking for the kingdom, knowing there must be something better, actually receive something very big from what Jesus says.
Yeah.
It's very easy to write the Jews off. You know, I think there were people there for whom this was like.
Yeah.
And following on from that, the man who checked out, you can't accept and pretend that you've accepted this because you were spotted.
No.
Because God will realise that actually you're there under false pretences.
You're there in your own clothing, in your own self, in your own righteousness. Yeah.
We understood now that the bride is the church. The people then, the Jewish people, who have they ever understood the bride to have been?
I think so. They understood themselves to be God's people, but their thinking was of a very kind of physical kingdom. You know, the to restore the kingdom of David, the land, the people, and so on. I think there were mixed views, even among the religious leaders, about resurrection, about an afterlife. I'm not sure that there was an agreement on that. That this idea of a wedding banquet in heaven, which is the way we understand it. So I don't know that there would have been clarity in them thinking about what that was. And that is, in a sense, Jesus speaking to the resurrection, you know, which he does do later on, and say that there is eternal life, there is life after death. Yeah. Let me just go back to what Judy said, because when I was sat here and we were singing the hymns, and I was just kind of going through my mind about the, you know, what's in the verses. The thing that hit me was encouragement, that actually this is a tremendously encouraging parable. If you think there's going to be a wonderful wedding banquet with the King and the Son, we are invited. And we're given the clothing to wear at the banquet. And it's for good and bad. Right? It's not based upon how good we've been or even how bad we've been. It's based upon the fact that we go in the righteousness of the Son. It's his banquet. And we go in his righteousness. And that is an incredible encouraging message for us. But as Judith said, also for the Jews listening, who were thinking about all the laws that they'd broken. And that phrase, good and bad, it must have really hit home. Lastly, three things. One is, the people who have been invited, there is a choice to make. Second is, those that have decided to go, they're the right garments to wear, the righteousness of Jesus. And third, some of us are the servants who are to go and invite people in. Whoever we are, this parable is about a message for us. Maybe we haven't made the decision yet to go. Maybe we want to go, but somehow we've not yet accepted the righteousness of Jesus. And third, maybe we've done all that, but then we should be servants inviting others to come. Amen.